here we go, yo, here we go, yo. So what, so what, so what's the scenario?
This is The Real, 1100 AM. More sports, more music, more things that matter. Giving you more of The Real. The Real.
Hey, yeah. Y'all know what time it is. I don't even gotta say it. Y'all already know. Yeah, S-R, we in the A, S-R-T the click, keep it super lit. Yeah. Got a check, need a place to bet, Hancock with the pick. Woo. We don't play every Wednesday, you gotta turn up. It real, 1100 AM, they tune to us. Yeah, super slick when I spin move, I just touch down like I'm Jace move. And it's H-O from Bankhead, so we don't tie, we gotta go for two. Woo. Big money like G-Money, coach calling the play, we gotta fall in. S-R-T be the crew, you know we ballin'. Ballin'. Sports round table, the only option. Bank head, so what I do? Woo. Turn up every Wednesday with the SRT crew. Yeah, so what I do? Woo. Turn up every Wednesday with the SRT crew. Now.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable live from the SRT studios, and we're up in the building in the penthouse, and it's freezing cold. Bipolar Atlanta weather. But we in the building. I'm your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. Doing it all the way live, baby, each and every Wednesday, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Jay Smooth taking the PTO today. Hancock called and said he was in traffic. But got to keep this thing moving. Got my main man filling in, coming through. You hear him on Saturday mornings, each and every Saturday morning, that is, on the three-point conversion. Mr. Controversy, Mr. Raphael, what's going on, bro?
What up, baby? Just call me Teddy Bridgewater, baby.
Just
all
Teddy.
You need to call me. I'm Teddy.
Just Teddy.
If you need me, I'm going to get you a win, baby.
My man, I appreciate you coming through, man, and got a lot to talk about. Lots going on, and this is one season where I say, well, this is the part of the year where everything is going on. NFL, NCAA, football, college basketball done kicked off, the NBA. So it's a lot to talk about, and with that being said, we got a college football report coming up here in a few seconds. And college football is crazy this year.
What?
Yeah.
Best season ever.
College football crazy. Got our main man, Rain Man, calling in about 7:35 with the picks of the week. As he went 3-1 last week, so he got up off the snap, 3-1 for the week. Ballers and busters around 7:47. Who is your ballers? Who are your busters for this past week? And we got some other news, man. Of course, we got to talk about that Kaepernick situation. So we're going to mention that. And Mr. Chase Young, got to talk about him as well. And, of course, the second hour of the show, that roundtable discussion, we're going to talk Falcons Saints. And also, our NBA spotlight is the Boston Celtics. How are they doing it? The best record in the East. Thus far, pump your brakes though. It's an observation, not something that we're saying, but it's an observation. They got the best record in the East. And we got to talk about load management, man, because the load management seems to ruffle some feathers a lot of times, and I don't know if anybody has a clear definition of what actually it is or what it's not or supposed to do.
I thought it had something to do with my job.
You know, like load management, like what is that? And then you get to the point where the NBA gets involved and they got some kind of approval procedure to tell you when it's okay. Load management. I don't know what it is. I know what it is. I don't know what it means. So we definitely got to talk about that. So, but we got a long, deep show for you tonight. So that's all I can say. If you want to be a part of the show, make sure you give us a call. 404-603-8770 is the number to call. Make sure you follow us on social media at SRT Radio. And I'm trying to see. G, are we up on live yet?
Yeah, we're live.
Mm-hmm. We live? Okay. I'm just not live.
Gotta get with the program, that, man.
Gotta get with the program. There we go. I see. There we go. And if you're on live, shout out to everybody on live, man. Keep rocking with us. As y'all can see, Hancock is coming in from 285. 85. And all this other kind of stuff. But once again, thanks for always rocking with the SRT. And I also got to mention, this Saturday, SRT Saturday at the Big Easy Grill, 12:30 to 2:30. Come out, hang out with the crew. We'll be up there eating shrimp, catfish nuggets, shrimp po' boys, and things of that nature. If you hadn't been there, if you hadn't tried it yet, it is the hiddenest gem in the ATL as far as seafood. You would not be disappointed. Matter of fact, if you come out, you get your basket. If you don't like it, I'm springing for it. So that's just how good it is.
Oh, like
mine
already.
My main man G Money behind it. I don't know why I just get so excited about this thing. Can't forget about the man behind the glass. The man behind the glass, G Money. What's going on, G?
Yo.
G say what, you know, hey, it is what it is at this point. It's the cold weather. Everybody got a hood on today.
Yeah, things change so fast.
Man. Yeah, I mean,
temperature drops 40 degrees in hours.
Exactly. So if you got kids, please vitamin C them. Don't want to send the kids to school and get the teacher sick and all this other kind of stuff because it's going around. But anyway, we got to get to it and make sure you keep it locked. It is now time for that college football report.
It's time for the College Football Report.
I'm surprisingly intrigued by the prospect of College Football Saturdays.
The hottest college football stories of the week.
Let's play some football!
College Football Report sponsored by our good old friends at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road. If you're looking for the best seafood in town, the New Orleans-style seafood, going over to the Big Easy Grill. Again, 1193 Collier Road, where it takes two bites to get rid of one shrimp. And it is verified. All right, fellas. Hancock, just raise your hand when you get ready. And we can go from there. But the college football playoffs came out last night, Raphael. And you know we have – every week we're going to have some folks to say something, right? Last week it was Clemson people. You know, how can you disrespect the national champions? And we're not even in the top four. This week it's how is Alabama still number five? And I'm not even gonna say nothing. Just when you saw it, tell me your thoughts.
Well, we talked Saturday, and I told you that Alabama, no matter what, if they lost, I don't think it hurts them.
Right.
Just because they lost to what is probably going to be a number one team, the number one team in college football rankings. I know the schedule is weak, but it's their only loss, and they lost to the number one ranked team. So why should they fall further back? When you look at a Georgia team, like, honestly, I think Georgia should be further back. But when Georgia, you know, when they're losing, I ain't going to give them a name, G. I mean, you know, it was a bad loss. I'm not even going to say they lost to McDonald Tech or nothing like that. But then you have
that Oklahoma. School from Columbia.
Yeah, that school from Columbia. I'll say that. But Oklahoma, they lose to Chick-fil-A State. They should be further back. Oregon, they don't impress me. So what other team right now, one loss team or undefeated team, is more impressive than Alabama, or it's better than Alabama. I'm tired of us playing the well, it's because they just lost. And Oregon lost week one. Or Oklahoma lost such and such. No. Let's look at it as what it is, the eye test. We all know the eye test. Alabama still should be the third-ranked team. But we know how it go. Mm-hmm. So, I don't see a problem with it.
Hey, you ready?
I'm ready, man.
What First you got? Off, what's up, fellas?
There you go.
What's up, crew?
What's happening?
What up?
Glad to make it here, man, but it's kind of rough out there.
I understand. Okay. When you first looked at the playoffs, and let me go through it, LSU jumps Ohio State.
Go ahead.
Ohio State is two. Actually, Clemson is three. And
Georgia is four.
So each week we talked about it, and it's almost like the what's important changes. And it looks as if somehow they set this up to where the teams are going to meet and something is going to go wrong and things of that nature. We saw Penn State finally fall to a Minnesota team who is still not even in, well, they were they 7th or 8th at this particular point. But when you first saw the rankings, I know you say you didn't make much of it last week because it was the first one, but now it's the second one.
Right.
Some things done shifted. We got some musical chairs going on. What is this, the third or fourth SEC team to be ranked number one in the college football era? Yeah. Third different one or fourth different one? Something like that?
Something like that, I believe.
Yeah. I think it's three. Is it four?
LSU, Alabama, Georgia was number one. I'm not sure if Auburn ever was. I think they had a chance to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Han, go. You got it. All brakes and no gas.
Well, we knew.
All gas, no brakes.
We knew what was going to happen coming into this week because you had two of the top four were going to be playing each other. So you had to have some movement. They kept Clemson right there because they knew that was going to happen. So all the people that were upset, Clemson, not, how could this not happen? Well, it was a method to the madness. And you see that now. They're already in the four, and there's really no way for them to come out of the four if you look at the schedule. And let's just be real about it. They don't play anybody. There's nobody in the ACC left. Their championship game won't be watched because it's not going to be a contest.
They may end up playing Miami.
Yeah, they play with Wake Forest, I think, this week.
This week.
It was,
yeah, it is.
I mean, when Wake Forest is one of your powers in the conference, enough said. I mean, seriously, let's be real. So they're in. Ohio State right now. The only game you can look forward to them maybe having a letdown or whatever, not a letdown, but a challenge, will be the Michigan game. We
Real
can
quick.
Say it.
They have Wake Forest and South Carolina. Those are two games they have left in the ACC championship where they're likely playing Virginia.
Right. And we, like I said, there's not much of a challenge. Michigan, Ohio State will always be a good football game because they don't like each other. And Michigan, this will make their season. So they will have at least a challenge. I know people look and say, well, Michigan's horrible, whatever. Throw the records out. We saw the Falcons beat New Orleans this past week. It happens.
Right.
So that's really their only stumbling block or capable stumbling block will be Michigan. The rest of the teams in there, this SEC thing is going to be tough. You know, I still don't respect the Pac-10. They Pac-12. Have a say. If Pac-12, yeah, let's see, I'm shortchanging them anyway.
Right, they probably could be the Pac-2 at this point.
Even their champion, their champion still could be in jeopardy to a two-loss SEC champion and not get in.
Yeah.
The Big 12, man, I mean, Oklahoma's probably going to get in. We'll see. But they're stumbling. They have to.
They barely beat Iowa State.
Barely beat Iowa barely State, beat lost them. To Kansas State. So if they have to play Kansas State in the championship, would they end up matching them or those type of teams? Those two teams really affect them. Iowa State and Kansas State play them tough.
Well, if Oklahoma were to make, they're probably playing Baylor. If Baylor,
right. They play Baylor this
week.
Well, they could play Baylor again.
In the right. championship. Well, so that would be a positive then because they don't want Kansas State or Iowa State to Honestly, they don't. For some reason, they don't match up well with those teams. So, but this whole thing right now is shaking out that way. We found out Penn State is what we thought they were.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, like I said, they're at 10 now. They're all offense. They don't. Has anybody seen the way they play defense?
No.
So that's what I mean.
They actually play defense?
Yeah, exactly. It's flag football out there. So The four now, I think there's only one spot to me that's left, and that's the fourth position, which is going to be between an SEC school or a Pac-12 team.
Mm.
You don't think that – you don't think there's no way – you don't think there's no way – I know you don't believe in Penn State. You don't think it's no way we'll see a shocker in Minnesota run the table?
Nah. Penn State, to me, this week loses to Iowa.
Coach?
They lose to Iowa this week.
Who?
Minnesota.
You think Wait, are they playing in Iowa at night?
At Kinnick Stadium.
Yeah, you already know how that is.
They're at Kinnick Stadium.
But I think
get their L this week.
I think they go undefeated. Until they play the Big Ten Championship.
You know, the thing about this, and this is where I, for years, gave the SEC the nod over other conferences, mm-hmm. is because, yeah, you'll play in Alabama, and then you'll have a letdown and go to some of these little towns or whatever, you sleep or whatever, and before you know it, you're in a dogfight. Iowa has nothing else to lose. Mm. They haven't lost to Minnesota in Kinnick Stadium in over 40 years, I think, or some statement I heard the other day. And I think that continues. I just don't believe Minnesota has, let's say, enough tradition or that row your boat and whatever, it hadn't really materialized to the point where they're solid yet. You know, these are 18-year-old kids. They're trying to learn how to be a championship team. So getting it all up, laying it on the line for Penn State this past weekend, now going into Iowa, I think it's the perfect game for them to get beat.
So let me ask you this, since you hit on that then. We got two undefeated teams that's outside of the top four. That's Baylor and Minnesota. Out of those two teams, looking at the schedule, you've already hit on Minnesota. Which one would you say has a better shot to get in? Who has the advantage of them getting it? Because Baylor play Oklahoma this week. So we could possibly see both of them lose. So, does Minnesota have a better chance of beating Iowa? Does Baylor have a better chance of beating Oklahoma? Raph, we'll start with you.
Honestly, I think Baylor has a better chance because Oklahoma wants Jalen Hurts to win the Heisman Trophy so bad that they have him playing defense. And I think that's why they're losing. I mean, they're giving up points like that. They can't play defense. So with Baylor coming in, they have a better chance. I agree with what you're saying because this could be a letdown for Minnesota. But I do believe because they are 18, because they are young, they're so naive. They don't know that they're not supposed to be in the spot. So they're going to play for their coach. But it is the perfect chance for them to get knocked out. But with Baylor, Oklahoma, right now, they don't look scared to no one. No one's not scared anymore. So I really believe that Baylor has the better chance of getting in. But I do believe both teams will succeed this week.
Okay. I agree, you talked about Minnesota. Let's talk about Baylor.
I've already mentioned, I feel like Minnesota's going down. I do believe Baylor has a chance to beat Oklahoma this week. And Oklahoma's just, they're all offense. And we saw when it comes down to the crunch time, they were pressured, and you could see them come apart. Jalen Hurts made some throws down the stretch. Ill-advised would be putting it mildly. I'm seriously. If you look at the game, I
watched the game too. And also, if Iowa State was traditional, like they went for the win, they had a chance to tie the game with an extra point. They went for two for the win. And if they had, if they had gotten that, it's a totally different story.
Right, but
I think if they could have gone to overtime and probably still given themselves a chance,
the momentum had changed, no doubt about it. And I just don't feel that. When I look at Oklahoma, they're just one-dimensional, and a lot of the touchdowns have been just throw it up to CeeDee Lamb, and he just running through people that can't tackle. I mean, watch the games.
Man.
Some of his touchdown runs are like
you watching a movie. Like this is a script.
Is this real?
Big dive.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, the defense that's played in that conference.
Or he's got a force field on him or something.
It's like they can't touch him. I mean, it's ridiculous. I just sit and watch. You're amazed that a six-yard pass turns into an 80-yard touchdown. Or a pop pass in the middle of the field between three people that Jalen just throws and he catches. He turns, spins, runs out the left side, and he's down the sideline. They can't touch him.
And the crazy part is the play is supposed to be for like a 6-yard first down, go out of bounds. He's trying to go out of bounds, but the guy tries to tackle him, knock him back inbounds.
He'll look back like, he tried to tackle me, and he didn't. I guess I should keep running.
So I agree. I think it's Baylor. I think Baylor has a real good chance. I think even last week, that was a look-ahead game because they kind of turned up and were able to win the game. But I think they had played that game in their head already preparing for Oklahoma. So they'll put it all on the table this week, and they'll give Oklahoma. I'm not sure that they will win. I think Oklahoma has a lot of offense, but they'll have to use it all. They'll have to use it all. But me, myself, take the points with Baylor and ride it. I think that's the way to go.
G, out of the two teams, I'm going to ask you this, Minnesota and Baylor, who are you? I mean, which team is actually for real in your opinion? Like, which team is worthy or been playing worthy of an undefeated season?
Based on the last week, I mean, it would be easy to say Minnesota because Baylor struggled against TCU, who is having a so-so season. It was 9-9 at the end of regulation with that game. Minnesota came out and they started off fast against Penn State and were able to hold on to win by making defensive plays, which you don't see a whole lot of in the Big Ten as far as like the defense can win a game for you. But they were able to do that. And I would trust them. We're going at this Iowa game is at 4 p.m. I was just telling Jags, like, by 5 o'clock, it'll be dark. So it's going to be tough going into Iowa City. They have not won in Iowa City in 20 years.
20 years.
So it's going to be, you know, so they're going against history, but I would trust them more than Oklahoma, than Baylor going against Oklahoma, just because even though Baylor held TCU to 9 points, they should have scored more than 9 points in regulation.
Right.
So I take Minnesota between those two.
So is it now, I know you pointed this out, Mr. Controversy, about the coaching. The coaching in Minnesota, we talked last week about.
Yeah,
they want him to go to Memphis for whatever reason. Not Memphis,
no,
but
to go to
Florida State.
My
apologies.
She said Norvell, which I'm cool with.
You cool with also
either one.
But how much is this the coaching for Minnesota erases all this history?
And see, that's what it is. When you got a group of young guys, their minds are open, so they're not thinking history. They don't have what's been planted in that program with college, right. You know, in Minnesota. So you got a coach come in, he knows how to coach. They already believe everything he's saying anyway. All he got to tell them is, man, forget history. Forget that. Don't even bring up history.
Just go and play.
This is what we're doing today. We're going to win. This is how we beat this team. That's it. They're ready. Right now, they believe they can beat Alabama. That's how confident they are. I mean, it's crazy, but that's how confident they are.
Right, right.
So when you have a coach of this magnitude that knows how to coach, but yet still have his team believe everything he says, and then that team is young, it's like having a 6-year-old. You can tell a 6-year-old Cookie Monster's in the other room giving cookies. They will believe it.
Yeah.
That's how they are right now.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. So I really think because of him, they will go into Iowa and scored 30 points before it get dark. And that's how they win.
They got to do that in the first quarter.
You're right, I know.
Yeah, it is. I just don't know if they'll be the same intensity. Trying to get it up again. That was the biggest game in Minnesota history in how many years?
At least 80 years.
Exactly. Yeah. So to have to try to duplicate that.
Right.
That's the thing I'm saying.
They become the hunter this week.
So right. Now you're on the perch. You know, you're up there.
Almost there.
What does Iowa have to lose? They nothing. Right. They have everything to gain.
But you know what? What I like about what he said was Coach said, hey,
I love this
one game.
Yeah.
We got the next game. And if he has that attitude and he instills that in them.
He has to get it to them.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah,
right. Let's do a quick review. Alabama. LSU, great game. I think it just boiled down to turnovers for Alabama. And I'm going to just go say this because I know y'all like to give some analyzations, but the biggest key to LSU's success this year, we can talk about Joe Burrow, we can talk about the offensive coordinator, Brady, who had come in from New Orleans. We can talk about how young he is and hang out with Joe Burrow and things of that nature. But one key that everybody missed is that LSU does not turn the ball over. Mm-mm. Period. Look at the biggest games that they've played. Look at the Auburn, the Georgia, the Alabama game. They don't turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. And that's what's been their key to success along with all these other things. But when you looked at the game, Raphael, and saw the game, what was your take on the outcome of the game and what you actually saw during the game?
That they're a team. They're one. You know, it's not Joe Burrow and the Temptations. It's LSU, and they all believe that. The way, even after the game, the way Joe Burrow came and he congratulated Carl Hilaire. Am I saying it right? Carl Hilaire. Mm. To me, just that right there, like, wow, this is the team. But like you said, they don't turn the ball over. We know Joe Burrow is not scared. We've been saying that for a while. And right now, it seems like the offense, those receivers, I think they feel like they, I think they think they're playing with Tom Brady. They're catching everything, getting open. But here's the key. Now, Alabama put up 40-something points, right? But here's the key. One play was when Tua was slick when he fake clapped. Then he looked at the sideline and then clapped real quick, and they weren't ready. And then, of course, the dumb play where they pressed up at the end of the game. Why would you do that
right when
they need a quick score? But other than that, LSU's defense is getting better by each game.
Mm-hmm.
And so now when you get to the SEC championship and then the playoffs, this team will be complete. That's what stood out to me most. We know they can score.
Right.
I've been saying it's going to be hard for any SEC team to stop them going five wide because the SEC is not built for that as far as defense. But the fact that their defense is getting better. Remember, that was a question. I was on here early in year, and I said the only thing that makes me nervous is their defense.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're making plays. They're getting turnovers.
Yep.
So I think that's what's standing out now, and that's what's putting them over everyone else.
And what you got?
Yeah, reaching back, you talked about earlier when we talked about who was the number one team we thought, and I picked LSU. I did pick LSU. Bama still showed me a lot. When you look at it, it was a tale of two halves. Bama didn't play well the first half. They scored 13 points. In the second half, they scored 28. First half, LSU scored 33 points, scored 13 in the second half. So the thing was that Bama came out, as Nick does, and made adjustments. They kept LSU in check until the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. You know, and they needed a key stop. But what we've seen out of Bama is the thing that's their Achilles heel, a mobile quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Who can also throw. If he can make plays with his arms, but keep drives alive, keep that chain moving, you make Alabama play through downs, drives, not quick strikes or whatever, because you don't get many of those. But if you keep that defense on the field, especially as young as they are, and like I said, they were missing All-American, to-be All-American linebacker that's been out all year, who will get everybody in the right place? That's one thing when you're out of position, you can't defend, especially when they spread you out. And you've seen LSU now come out of the dark ages and go into the new style of football, which is make Bama play in space. Everybody doesn't do that. But the good teams, we've seen Clemson do it. We saw Manziel do it back at Texas A&M. Those teams that have a quarterback that can keep a play alive or at least make a couple of plays with their legs to keep the chains moving are his Achilles heel, that being Nick Saban. But he did make adjustments. The thing about it is, and I'll go out on a limb and on the record right now and say it, Tua being healthy, if they somehow meet again, I take Alabama. Because I just believe in what Nick can do. And I think he'll devise something to put in place to limit Joe Burrow's effectiveness with his legs. That's the key right there. I think if Tua's fully healthy, I even think Alabama wins this game. Just to be honest with you. I think to me that was the key, him coming out for being out all for two games.
Mm-hmm. He was rusty.
Right, a little bit rusty. And you saw him get better as the game, mm-hmm. even though he was banged up. He got more accurate. He got more acclimated to the plays, to the speed of the game. And that's when they made the run. LSU right now is, to me, they play so well. What can happen right now? A loss. So we have to be careful. Because they beat four top 10 teams. And they're, what have they done now? They slayed the Dragon already this past weekend. So now, do these kids say, exhale? And what happens when you exhale? You let down your guard. So be aware. They still have some minefields. I know it's, when you look at their schedule, Texas A&M, they lost to Arkansas, didn't play well here, whatever. This is SEC football. These people are recruited. Doesn't take but one bad half to be into a solid football game. So they have Ole Miss this weekend, which I'm telling you, coming off a big win at Alabama, will be a tougher game than what you think.
See, that's what, that's the team that I feel like you just won a big game. Now you come off that big game, and this can be that trap game.
Letdown.
And that's what I'm nervous about, really. It's coming down and you play them. Because now, Minnesota, yes, we arrived. We've hit, we're here. But they know it's still Ohio State is there. You know. LSU, they slayed the Dragon.
Yeah.
Now you come. Now you gotta get ready and be prepared as, like you were when you played Alabama against an Ole Miss team. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, because Ole Miss did put up some points against Alabama. All right, man, that's gonna end our college football report. Brought to you by Big Easy Grill, 1193 Call Your Road. Make sure you come out this weekend, 12:30 to 2:30. We'll be in the building eating shrimp and watching college football. But when we get back. He went 3-1 last week, and he's been putting money in your account all season. We got our main man, Rain Man, Slick Money, coming up with his picks of the week. Y'all keep it locked. You listen to Sports Roundtable and SRT Crew on The Real 1100, srtradio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on The Real 1100 AM. Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
Sports Roundtable.
Now, David, it's like this. Either you're going to straighten up or we're letting you go.
Blue, you all right with that?
I'll miss you, but not if you're hurting the group.
Hurting the group? I'm the best thing that ever happened to this damn group.
Nobody's bigger than the group.
Y'all ain't stupid. I'm the one selling the records. They coming to see me.
They coming to see the Temptations.
Ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis. You wish you could work it the way I do. But you can't, because there is only one David Ruffin. And without him, the Temps ain't nothing but a group in search of a David Ruffin.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
Y'all begging me not to leave you. And I refuse to let you go.
Are you ready for some football? Are you ready to win some fruit cups?
Those who are tardy do not get fruit cups.
Well, get ready, because it's time for the Rain Man's Picks of the Week.
Sports Roundtable back at you. It is that time. Time to pull that wallet out, pen and paper. Take these picks down. On the phone, we got our guy. He does it every week with us. We so appreciate that. Slick, you went 3-1 last week, if I'm not mistaken, sir.
Yes, sir.
My man.
I got back on winning ways.
There you go. Back on the winning ways. So we're going to continue that this week. And it's, you know, even when the big names are not playing in college football this week, there are some big games that are playing. So with the big games playing, who do you have for your blowout of the week?
For the blowout of the week, I'm going to the NFL. I'm taking the Minnesota Vikings -2 versus the Denver Broncos. I just think Minnesota done found their stride, and I just think they're so much better. They play so good at home. So I like the Vikings -10 against the Broncos.
Okay. Cool. -10. Dalvin Cook leading the league in rushing. All right, who's your lock for the week? This is the one where you can take all of your car payments, your mortgage, and everything, and just place it on the game, and we got us a victory. Who would that be this week?
It's gonna be kind of strange because I don't know, a lot of people might not agree with this, but I think you're gonna take it. I'm going college. Baylor is getting 10 versus Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma might be the better team, but Baylor have a tendency to play down to competition. And I think they kind of are looking forward to this. Game day is going to be there. And they're still undefeated, so they're not getting any credit. So I like Baylor +10 at home, prime time against Oklahoma. Oklahoma got a tendency to land you back to them, too, as well. They get a big lead, and next thing you know, 5 minutes later, you're back in the game. So I like Baylor +10.
Gotcha. All right, for your upset of this week, somebody who's just going to surprise everybody. Who would you say that would be this week?
We're going back in college, man. We're going to Wyoming Cowboys. Wyoming Cowboys be playing pretty good, man. They play everybody tough. They should have won last week against on the big turf. They lost by a field goal. So I'm taking Wyoming +7, going to Utah State. And I truly believe this is going to be an upset. If not an upset, take Wyoming +7.
Cool. And your bonus pick for this week.
Is Mr. Controversy sitting in there?
He is.
This is for him. I'm taking the Chicago Bears against the Rams. I just think, man, Rams don't know what they're doing. I think Chicago can go to L.A. and get a win. And plus, if they don't get the win, I like the 7. Mitch ain't telling what he's going to do. But I just truly believe the Rams don't know where they're going either. So both teams going in different directions. But I'd rather have Chicago +7 going to the Rams.
Appreciate that, homie.
Anytime, sir.
All right. So let me give you a quick recap on this real quick. Your blowout this week is Minnesota Vikings -10 versus the Broncos. And probably the Broncos, probably the worst franchise other than Minnesota, and I mean other than Miami and the Jets now that we have in the NFL. It sometimes it's the Browns, but since they won last week, we'll leave them off the slate. Your lock of the week, Baylor +10 versus Oklahoma. I love this pick. I absolutely love this pick. A 10-point dog at home. Yeah, I'm digging this one. Your upset pick, Wyoming +7 versus Utah State. This is one of those sneaky games. Utah State could be looking ahead, trying to finish off the season on a good note, while Wyoming continues to play all of their teams tough. So +7 is a good number. And for Mr. Controversy, your bonus pick is the Bears +7 versus the Rams. Yeah, I don't know. Has the McVay magic worn off is what you probably have to ask yourself as far as with the Rams. Cooper Kupp didn't even – he wasn't even in the stat book last week. I'm just disappointing to me. So the Bears +7 versus the Rams, and those are Slick Money's picks of the week. Hopefully we can go another 3-1 or 4-0 week this week. We really appreciate it. Before you get out of the phone, let everybody know where they can find you on social media and where they can find your picks.
You can find it on IG at Victor Hill #4. Facebook is Vic, V-I-C, Hill, H-I-L-L. And on Twitter, ATL Slick Money.
There it is, my guy. Go ahead and give them shout-outs before you go, bro.
Shout-out, man. I think Minnesota Golden Gophers, I'm going to give them the shout-out.
There you go.
I think people going to sleep on them, man. I truly believe they getting kind of, you know, the real road too here. I like the Gophers this week too, man. I think Minnesota going to play Iowa. Okay. I don't know any new juvenile. They not tough. I like Iowa. I mean, I like Minnesota this week.
I gotcha. All right, man. We so appreciate it, bro. Hang in there, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. Y'all be good. See you at Big Easy.
All right. There you go. Slick Money got his picks. Ralph, what you think? What you like? I know you like the Bass pick, so we ain't even got to go there. But do you like the Baylor plus 10?
I like the Baylor plus 10.
Yeah. Like the Baylor plus 10.
Like you said, they're at home.
Yeah.
Of course, like we talked about earlier, Oklahoma, they
give up points late. Yeah.
They give up points. I mean, it don't matter who. Like, if I know it is type of fantasy, but if college football fantasy was for real and big,
right,
you would always pick every offense is playing against, or the quarterback that's playing against Oklahoma. That's a sure win for you. So
yeah, exactly like the Falcons' opponent quarterback. What picks did you like? The Minnesota minus 10 versus Broncos NFL. Baylor, obviously, the 10, and Wyoming plus 7, and then Bass plus 7.
Yeah, it's the Baylor pick.
The easy.
That's the one, because, like I said, I think last week, Baylor, even though it was a hard-fought game, I think they looked ahead for this game.
Right, right.
So this is the one. This is the one that could establish them, you know, as a contender. You know, you'd have to take them serious being an undefeated team. Mm-hmm. So this is the one. I 10 at home, Baylor all day.
All right, G, who you like for the picks?
I like the Baylor pick. I think it's going to be a shootout, and it's going to come down to a field goal, or Baylor goes for two and the win, and they might get it. Iowa State almost got it. I also like the Vikings Broncos. Mm-hmm. I think the formula is give Dalvin Cook the ball,
right?
Throw it to him, hand it to him, and not put the game in the hands of Kirk Cousins. It's something that they never wanted to do. Like when Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs were calling him out in different ways. It was like, I think the rest of the team felt like that too. The coaches felt like that. Like we can't send Cousins out there to win a game for us, because it's not going to happen. But they figure out, well, let's just give it to 33, and Denver's not that good, so we should be all right.
Has Dalvin Cook ascended to one of the top running backs in the league, not just rushing, but has he ascended to that level? Because when we came into the league this year or the season, we talked about Kamara, we talked about Barkley, we talked about McCaffrey. Very few talked about Cook because of some of the injuries.
He's been injured, but Kamara's had injuries, and so has Barkley.
Right.
So it's kind of by default, but we've seen, like, you know, this is why he was a first-round pick or second-round pick, this is why the Vikings took him. When he's healthy, this is how good he can be, and he's finally able to show that.
But you know what? I still don't think that you're getting the value that you should be getting from him, and that's not on him. This dude can catch. I mean, remember, people was comparing him to Marshall Faulk when he came into the league, which I believe that's true.
You know what the thing is, though? They had Adrian Peterson for so long. I know it's a different coach. But they had Adrian Peterson for so long, and he can't catch.
Right, so they got
they got used to not throwing to the running back.
If they put the ball in his hands like that, I think you would really say he's a top three back, period.
All right, man. So that's going to end our picks of the week. But when we get back, you already know. One of our favorite segments. Ballers and Buzzers coming up, man. Keep it locked. You listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on the real. 1100SRTRadio.com.
Keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on the real 1100 AM.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Sports Roundtable.
Hey, I'm having a lot of money on you, man.
Well, you getting ready to be a rich, you see, next week, I'm knocking somebody the f*** out. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand now. It took a while, but I got it.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
Well, you people enjoy your meals. Come on, babies.
Other radio shows may have their players of the week, but at the Sports Roundtable, we have our ballers.
Ballin'.
And our busters.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
Sports Roundtable back at you, man, and we in the building. Yes, sir. Each and every Wednesday, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm H.O. That's Hancock. Got my guest in the building with us tonight, Mr. Controversy. And he's not starting any controversy yet. But I'm sure it's coming. just hold on. We got it. But Ballers and Busters, we don't have a sponsorship for this yet. So, you know, maybe Popeyes. You know, I don't know. But anyway, Ballers this week. And if you're on Facebook Live or if you anywhere where you can get us your Ballers and Busters, please let us know who your ballers are. And this week I'm going with the hometown. I mean, we gonna talk about this later on in our roundtable discussion, but the Falcons defense finally came off the milk carton, and I think people understand exactly what I'm saying. 6 sacks. They matched the total of the season in one game. And it was nice to see. And for all the people who don't understand football and just understand the name of the quarterback of the team, they do play defense, and defense wins. And you saw how much the secondary looked when you get pressure on the quarterback. So shout out to the Falcons players on defense. I'm not even finna go to the coaching staff, because if you hadn't figured out where your coaching staff needs to be an influence at, that says a lot about you. And my honorable mention, obviously, is ice cold Trey Young. Trigger. Is absolutely killing the NBA right now. The first Hawks player to go 30-10 in 3 straight games. And coming off an ankle injury, 3-4 games back. And he gave the Denver Nuggets a 40-piece last night, as he played against his best friend, Michael Porter Jr., who plays for Denver. And Trae Young is absolutely killing the NBA right now. I'm just, whether bold prediction or not, I just think he's an all-star this year, by none. Ain't no doubt about it.
Bold prediction, I think he's in the MVP. He's going to be an MVP candidate in that run, I think.
Yeah, he has showed his
top 5 player this year right now so far.
Yeah, he killing.
Top 5,
he's killing. And this is the crazy part about it. He still looks small.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
The thing about Trae Young, what I love about him is Trae Young. It's like he got a best friend on every team, it seemed like. I don't know why. But after every game, he talks about that. But here's the difference between him and everyone else. This is why I know he's going to be great. Because LeBron, anybody else in the NBA, when they play against their best friend, helping you up, be cool. When Trey plays against his boys, he's talking mess. Did you see the stare down he gave Michael Porter? He does that every time he plays against his best friend. He's talking mess. Buddy healed him. He was talking mess. That's what I love. He wants to go against his best friend and beat him. You don't have that in these NBA. I love that.
All right, hey, who you got for your baller?
The LSU Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Sound like Nick Nolte.
Go Tigers.
Look, man, to go into a place, T-Town, and come out with a W, they got to get my baller, man. It was tough down the stretch. Wheels didn't come off, but the offense kind of barred down a little bit in the second half. Bama got back in the game and almost pulled it out.
Mm-hmm.
But for them to withstand everything, come up with 13 clutch points in the fourth quarter and pull out that victory, they get my baller, LSU. They truly are the number one team in the nation right now. And let's see where it goes from here, but they get the baller from
me. Maybe Big E's are giving away free shrimp.
Go Tiger.
We'll see. All right, Mr. Controversy, what you got, bro?
My baller is I'm going to stick with LSU. I'm going to go with Carl Edwards Hilaire. You look at that guy, man, you think about everything he had to deal with. I mean, he only had 103 yards, but he had 3 touchdowns. And at the end, I think he played a major part because when they were struggling, he was the one that kept getting first downs, breaking tackles.
Who's he look like to you?
Emmett?
How about Darren Sproles?
Oh, yeah. But he run to me.
Yeah, I see Sproles.
The quick feet, but his heart. And Sproles had heart, but his heart reminds me of Emmett. The way he runs, it just, you know. Emmett wasn't that big, man.
No, he wasn't. Before
93, it was just, I said 92, this little running back from Florida, but he ran like he was 30 pounds heavier and 5 feet taller, but he gets my ball award, man. To me, he was the reason why they won. You know, like you said, they struggled. The offense kind of bogged down, but he was the one that said, put it on me, coach.
Yep.
So tough yards. I agree. All right, G, what you got for your baller?
My baller of the week. I know Jay does this sometimes. He'll be a basketball one, but that's fine. That's what I'm going to go with this week. It goes to the Evansville Purple Aces.
Oh, Walter McCarty.
Coached by Walter McCarty, who beat his former alma mater, the number one ranked, former number one, Kentucky Wildcats, 67-64. They were led in scoring by KJ Riley, who had 18 points. And they held Kentucky to 37% shooting, and they shot only 4 of 17 from 3. And, yes, they upset them in Rupp Arena.
Mm.
They came in as a 25-point underdog. It may not affect Kentucky in the long run as far as the tournament, whether seeding still matters or whatever, but Evansville, Walter McCarty can hang his hat on this win.
Yeah, that was a big win. I saw the end of the game, so they called so many timeouts trying to get the ball in. But shout out to Walter McCarty.
It's a lot of young teams in this NCAA.
Yeah, it's a lot of young teams. A lot of young teams.
Maybe by the end of the year they'll grow up some, so we'll see who matures faster.
Right. Yep.
I think that's going to be the key.
Absolutely. All right, my buster this week goes out to the Louisville Cardinals, who gave up 52 points to Miami to a fourth-string quarterback. It hurt his hand.
I know it did. It hurt his back. Hurt his back.
Well, I mean, it didn't hurt as much because we lost some other games, but it's no way that you say Louisville lose to Miami. When we saw Louisville at the beginning of the season, we saw, man, look, they are fast. They got some talent. If you give them a couple of years, you know, they might mature into something. Man, we've been seeing Miami moonwalk. They change quarterbacks every week. Every week.
They look like 72 Dolphins Saturday.
So, Louisville to give up 52 points to a fourth-string quarterback. And he was throwing the ball to Miami Hurricanes. You are my bust of the week. Nathan Peterman Award, you get it. Period.
You get it.
Oh, let me read. Dana said her baller was the Falcons defense because they held the Saints to 9 points with no touchdowns and kept Drew Brees on his back. And the busters, New Orleans Saints, just because they are the Saints. Rise up.
Mm.
Wow.
Respect. Okay.
It is. All right, Han, what you got? Busters?
Yeah, my buster goes to the San Francisco 49ers for basically throwing a two-game cushion away in the NFC. Oh, you could have settled for a tie. But, I mean, seriously, you settle for a tie, you got a two-game advantage. But you lose a game where you trade punts in overtime instead of running the ball and thinking about, well, wait a minute, the tie is better than anything. If we can't win it, let's just tie. Mm-hmm. It was a minute. They punted the ball back with a minute and 30-some seconds left in the game.
And who was the quarterback on the other team they were punting the ball to?
Russell. Mm-hmm. Mr. Wilson. I'm sorry. They put into dangerous.
What's bad about that last possession when the 49ers punted? They didn't take. They took like 15 seconds.
Right. That's why I was like,
that's,
"What are they doing?"
If you're trying to throw it and win now, why not go for it?
That you're proving my point. That's what I'm saying. You're playing the clock right now, because if you come out of that game with a tie, you're still two games clear of everybody. Now you allow Seattle to get into the hunt where they right now on the tiebreaker over you, and you got to go to them to play.
Seattle, exactly.
So to me,
that's the last game of the season. Right?
That to me is a coaching blunder, mm-hmm. when you don't realize the power of the schedule. So
I mean, they punted like
it took 15 seconds.
They like got the ball ready. And just punt. I was like, huh?
Yep. And they gave the ball to Russell, and he did what he does.
Yeah.
All right, Ralph, who'd you got?
Brooke, I got two. So my main buster is Brian Flores. You say, Mr. Controversy. That doesn't make sense. They won. Exactly. You just saw Alabama LSU play. You wasn't looking if you weren't looking your chops watching that game, and then you decide to win. I know Brian Hoyer played horrible. He tried to give you the game. Come on, Brian. You got to find some other way. Do the opposite. Or do what Sam Fran did and try to lose. Come on, man. You getting a quarterback. You don't.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not Rosen because he's not playing.
No.
So what are you doing? Last, my quick buster. Gummies. I'm sorry. My bad. Deion Waiters. That's his nickname now. Gummies. That's what we call him from here. On the 3-Point Convergence Sports Lounge, and when I'm on his show, SRT Radio, he will be now known as Gummies.
Gummies.
That's all I got to say.
Wow.
With no pay? Waiters.
With no pay? You mean?
He was already suspended.
Yeah, the 10 games with no pay, but he lost out on a $2 million bonus.
Yes.
Oh.
Is if he played a certain amount of games, he would get the bonus. But now he's missed too many games.
Yeah, he was suspended already.
That's crazy.
Gummies.
Big gummy waiters.
big gummy.
Exactly. What's up, Marlon? What's going on, baby? What you got?
Okay.
What you got, G?
My buster of the week goes to the LA Rams. I know going into Pittsburgh is tough in general, but I don't think it's just adding Minkah Fitzpatrick that made Pittsburgh this all-world looking defense. I think the league is caught up to Sean McVay and mm-mm. Jared Goff.
Mm-mm.
I just think that they've caught up to him, and you're not giving the ball to Ty Gurley. Got 12 carries, and we're still trying to figure out, okay, he had arthritis, or is he healthy or what? Like, are you trying to protect him or what? I thought y'all were trying to go back to the Super Bowl. But now they fall to 5-4. They're falling behind in their own division. We talked about Seattle and San Francisco. Everyone knows about, they probably still do it to where McVay is in Goff's intercom until 15 seconds on the play clock, and all defenses have to do is just wait until 15 seconds and then shift.
Yeah.
And now Goff doesn't know what to do. So
he's been exposed. I agree with you.
Every coach that's called an offensive genius, you have to continuously make adjustments, because now this is your third year as the coach. They caught up to you. You got to change it up. Look at Chip Kelly.
Yeah. Marlon said the same thing you said. The league knows that Goff can't read defenses once the headset turns on.
Yep.
Simple as that?
Yeah.
There it is. All right, man, that's going to end our Ballers and Busters. Brought to you by Keep Listening. And we got to get back to the second half of the show. So when we get back, we got some other news we want to discuss. Then we got our roundtable discussion. So keep it locked. You listen to Sports Roundtable with SRT Crew on the Real 1100, SRTRadio.com.
Keep those ears locked to the Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM.
You're tuned into WWE Lakeville, AM 1100.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Listen up, sports fans and TV watchers. SRT and Vibe TV have joined forces to bring you the best TV watching experience ever. When you subscribe to the Vibe TV app, you're going to get over 340 U.S. TV stations, including HBO, Stars, AMC, ESPN, Hallmark, foreign channels, music channels, and all of your local major city networks. Best of all, sports fans, Vibe TV is keeping you up to date with all the scores and more from tennis, golf, soccer, rugby, UFC, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, and more. And last but not least, live pay-per-view events at no extra cost. Never miss another game or match ever. If you want it, we got it. One app, one price, $15 a month, and never pay for extra add-ons. And here's a bonus for all the Sports Roundtable tenants. Visit VibeTVApp.com and use the promo code SRT for a 20% discount on all Vibe TV packages. So come on and subscribe to Vibe TV and stay connected to Sports Roundtable because they know sports.
Sports Roundtable.
May I help you, sir?
How much for an order of ribs?
$2.50.
$2.50? How many ribs do I get with that?
About five.
Five? So I guess that's about 50 cents a rib, huh?
Yeah, about.
Okay, let me get one.
Right on. One order.
One order of ribs.
No. One rib.
One rib.
I sure am hungry.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
You got any soda?
Have you been looking for a radio station that gives you sports?
I don't believe it! It's a touchdown!
Entertainment?
Are you not entertained?
And other special interest talk shows?
Well, isn't that special?
All on one app?
Yo, that's dope. What app is that?
It's The Real 1100 AM app for WWE. Grab it for free in your Google Play or Apple App Store today.
Hey, yeah. Y'all know what time it is. I don't even gotta say it. Y'all already know. Yeah. S-R. We in the A. SRT the click. Keep it super lit. Yeah. Gotta check. Need a place to bet. Hancock with the pick. Woo. We don't play every Wednesday. You gotta turn up. Keep it real. 1100 AM. They tune to us. Yeah, super slick when I spin move. I just touch down like I'm Jay Smooth. And it's H-O from Bankhead, so we don't tie. We gotta go for two. Woo. Big money like G-Money. Coach calling the play. We gotta fall in. SRT be the crew. You know we ballin'. Ballin'. Sports round table, the only option. Bankhead. So what I do? Woo. Turn up every Wednesday with the SRT crew. Yeah, so what I do, woo, turn up every Wednesday with the SRT crew. Now.
What up, what up, what up? It's the Sports Roundtable again. Second hour of the show, I'm H.O. This is Hancock.
What up?
Mr. Controversy.
Yeah.
My main man, G, behind the glass doing his thing. Thanks for tuning in for the first hour of the show. If you're looking for Mr. J. Smooth, he's out on PTO. Everyone deserves a little PTO every once in a while, so. So we'll holler back at him next week. And first hour of the show, Ballers and Buzzers Slick came in and gave us his picks of the week. We had some college football talk. You know, we kind of believing in Minnesota, kind of not. Baylor has a big game. Minnesota has a big game. They go to Iowa. Baylor's at home, 10-point underdog. So it's a lot going on. Some big games, maybe not big name teams, but some big games. Got Penn State, Ohio State coming up pretty soon. Then Ohio State plays Michigan. Georgia plays Auburn this week. So it is just college football is here. Got some other news that I do want to bring to most of attention. And if you have not been paying attention, obviously yesterday, last night, I think we got word that Kaepernick would be working out privately for some teams, and then you get all the people who's got plenty to say, still don't have enough information to say, I told y'all, with this, it wasn't about none of this anyway. So, Han, your thoughts on that? Do you think it's just what? I think it's just, I have a sneaky suspicion that this is a sneaky suspicion. I mean, I don't know what all this means, because the same amount of teams that, if you're going to see him work out Saturday, you had the same opportunity within 3 years. So what's the difference Saturday? I you know, maybe I'm in my Columbo mode. I don't know. But it's just fishy to me. So I'm gonna get your I'm gonna get your thoughts real quick, so we can go ahead and move on to some other stuff, because, you know, we don't have enough information to talk about this.
I think it stinks. I think it's rotten. I think the NFL again is putting Fugazi out there. I mean, why? Why is it that teams have taken people out of the booth who didn't even have, you know, any want to play football again, and you give them a $10 million contract? You know, you've seen people come off the street who didn't even try out. They just bring them in and say, okay, you're going to start this week. How many quarterbacks have we seen like that, Jay?
A lot. I mean, every time there's like, they're trying to get their PGA Tour card.
That's what I'm saying.
Making a phone call.
And they bring these people in. But you're going to tell me, we're going to put on this big show to pull Kaepernick out and not tell him what the guidelines are, not even warn him about when it's going to happen. He'll lie. He asks, can we push it back a little bit? No, it's this particular day right here.
On a Saturday.
On Saturday. Right?
SRT Saturday, too.
What do NFL players, teams do leading up to their games?
Travel.
They're traveling and getting ready to play. So who's going to be there to watch them? I mean, and he said this, and they tried to make a mockery. He said, I can't wait to see all the coaches and GMs at my workout. This was being facetious, stupid people. Because he was saying, look at what you're doing. You're making this big thing like people really come to check this out, and this is real. This is them saying, we told you we weren't holding him out. This is bull.
I think this is part of the settlement. I think this is the last part of the
settlement.
I heard
that part, too.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going
on. And he can't refuse it because it's part of the settlement is what I'm hearing.
But you know what? I'm wondering if they paid the Lions or the Lions interest. You know, Lions came out and said they're going.
Well, I heard a lot of teams have been interested, but nobody wants to take the leap because
the PR hit.
PR hit for one thing, because, you know, this is a divided country, and the one thing that does bring us together is sports.
Right.
Like I said, we can go, everybody going there with shotguns on one side and something else on the other to see Georgia play, but it's kumbaya once the dogs hit the field. As soon as the game is over, you're getting back in there.
And for those who are, for those who, like, think about the, well, what about the teams on the bye week? Green Bay, they're not looking for a quarterback. Not right now. Tennessee.
Giants not.
Do we see what Tannehill just did?
Right.
The Giants aren't. They just drafted one. And Seattle.
Please.
Come on.
You know that.
They might, because they were looking at him before.
They're going to bring him to the facility again.
They don't want that.
And then there's no workout.
They don't want that challenge to Russ.
But you know what? It has to be, like I've been saying this, if they were going to let him back in the NFL, it has to be a football city. In a football city, Philly, New York. I don't think Chicago's going to do it. It's not going to be Green Bay. Who else? Maybe Baltimore.
You think
Pittsburgh? I'm not saying those teams will get them, but it has to be a team. Think about it. What's worse than this, believe it or not, even though it's divided, but what's worse than this is, in America, believe it or not,
about to see,
killing animals.
I thought you were going to say that.
And the fact that Vic came back, it had to be a football city.
But that was before Suge got in the White House. Suge Trump is divided.
I agree.
Suge Trump has made people come out in Philly. Philly went red. Right. They were blues.
I'm not saying he's going to play. I'm just saying if he does, It has to be a football
but
city.
It also has to be a situation in which the quarterback, the starting quarterback, doesn't feel like
threatened.
Doesn't feel threatened. But that's why, like, I think like Pittsburgh could work. Like, I think the Steelers might move on from Roethlisberger. I don't know if the Bears are ready to move on
Chicago
from Trubisky.
Ain't drafting him. They don't play that. I'm telling you.
Kaepernick could have shot somebody rather than stand up, stand up for that flag. I'm telling you, Suge is not going to allow this. Suge Trump has divided this thing, man, and people, they are dead set against this cat.
What the thing is, why it might be Pittsburgh, because they probably against Suge. So.
I don't know, man.
All right, let's go to our next our next story on other news is this is stealing in baseball. Base stealing. But this is going to a whole nother level when you talk about stealing signs to win. Well, 2014?
2017.
Yeah. So a former pitcher comes out and says that the Astros are stealing signs, and they actually gave, I heard, an example of how they did it.
Do tell.
So, you know, I don't know. However, they had a camera angle, and you know how they have the organ and the things in the stands, or you can hear it. So if they hit the thing twice, they telling you what pitch is coming.
Right.
If they don't play nothing, then it's either change up or fastball. So I guess if you're not cheating, try it. I don't know how that it's just funny to me.
I can tell you firsthand that this happens everywhere because I used to coach my son in a travel team, right? And we noticed what was happening with the pitcher, right? So we had a kid that sat on the bucket, and he would sit and holler out, "Don't twist your head, kid," when the curve was coming, or "Keep your eye on the ball" when it was a fastball. And if we picked up signs, we would cheat.
Wow.
At that level. So if you don't think that they can get more sophisticated with equipment and looking into a glove with cameras, it happens.
Well, the only bad part about this really is the fact that they spoiled it for the other teams now. That's how I look at it. Like you said, come on, this is baseball.
Yeah.
Everybody, they tried it. They cheat until they get caught. I mean, that's what it is.
Everyone steals signs, but yeah, it's like with your own eyes. When it gets to like technology cameras,
right?
Like they had a camera in center field,
Patriots?
And the TV is in the dugout.
No, but Patriots just.
They were spying in practice. They're spying on practice.
Patriots have had somebody have somebody come up close to the mound, not mound, but where they on deck and just have a camera right there. they play with it. They just, but again, I'm not surprised. This is what baseball is. It's stealing signs. Everybody tries to steal signs. To me, that's a part of baseball. Be better at it. Now, they went too far by using cameras and stuff like that, but like I said, what is it going to do?
Right.
They had a championship. They're not taking
it. They can't take it away.
Put an asterisk over it. I don't care.
They're not going to make them vacate the World Series.
Hey, right. They're going to have them take the banners off, or take a flag or what? Yeah.
And Justin Verlander wins Cy Young again this year, and he's never won a World Series game. I digress.
right.
So I mean,
maybe his signs are getting stolen.
In the World Series, probably.
All right, man. Chase Young gets suspended. One more game, they say, and they'll let him play. So I already know how you're going with the hand. Why should he even play at this point? You've already established yourself as a top two, top three pick in the league. Why even deal with it? You saw what Bosa did for Ohio State. I mean, the path is set. Now, the other kid from Houston, not sure if he's been doing anything, but the Ohio State has set the path with Bosa, but you know Bosa is a whole nother beast though. So I'm gonna ask you, Ralph,
this dude is
Chase Young, what do you think he should finish the season play, or he should just sit out and just wait for the draft?
honestly, I think he should play. I know he shouldn't because he shouldn't get hurt and why. And you go, but at the same time, this is a kid who wants to win it with his brothers, you know.
Right.
And I believe you don't get the chance again. You might not get a chance to win the Super Bowl, but it's something special when you win a college championship. And to do that with your brothers, especially in a way like this where they suspend you because your uncle bought you a Snicker when you was 8 years old. So now you're suspended. They trying to take you away, but to come back and then still win it with your brothers, you can't beat that, man. You know, and that's going to be bonds for life. So I say play. I mean, you don't get that chance again. You might not ever get that chance in,
IG.
In the NFL.
I feel like this was some kind of distraction or some kind of weird... There's shenanigans going on because the two games he is suspended for is Maryland, who they beat 73-14.
Right.
And this week they're playing Rutgers, who is 2-7. Mm-hmm. They don't need him yet. Right. So they need him for Penn State and Michigan, the two games after that.
Right.
So it's like he took two games off. I don't. Ohio State's not going to miss a beat, at least not this week.
Z Collar shenanigans.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yep.
All right, man. So let's go wrap up other news. We got some roundtable discussion to get to when we get back. The Falcons talk, the NBA, load management is what we got to talk about. Boston and Phoenix are the spotlights of the NBA at this particular point because they are doing some things that maybe many didn't think was going to be done at the beginning of the season. So keep it locked. We'll be right back. You listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on The Real 1100, srtradio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM. The work never stops at Bo Bell Basketball Academy. Or more specifically, the feet work never stops at Bo Bell Basketball Academy. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bo Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies, specifically how footwork is the foundation to be a complete basketball player. Visit CoachBoBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bo Bell Basketball Academy, where footwork is key.
Sports Roundtable.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, we can go to sleep.
See y'all in the morning.
I guess that's Russell Wilson.
No, that's Dangerous.
Dangerous!
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Sports Roundtable back at you. Shout out to Cuzzo, Chase Josie.
What up, Chase?
He the one, he told me, he said, hey, send G this beat. I need y'all to talk over this. So I said, okay. No problem. We
take requests.
We take requests. So
case,
baby. If I start freestyling, y'all just excuse me, huh? But anyway, roundtable discussion brought to you by Bo Bell Basketball. If you're looking for the best improvement in your basketball game, Bo Bell is the place to be. Go to CoachBoBellBasketball.com. He has two locations, Bo Bell South and Bo Bell Midtown, where he says feet work is key. Fellas, we saw an anomaly probably this weekend. We saw the Falcons play like they were 7-1. We saw New Orleans play like they was 1-7. And New Orleans didn't score a touchdown. I mean, this have to be one of the first times Sean Payton has been touchdownless in his, you know, you can probably count on one hand how many times that this happened. So impressive by the defense. Falcons had an off week this a couple of weeks ago, a week past, and Dan Quinn made some coaching shifts. Raheem Morris went to the defensive secondary, moved from the offense to the defense. And Jeff Obrick, whatever, however you pronounce his name, called the defensive plays. And we know this. We talk about it all the time. G, you can be a witness to this. We talk about guys like Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and other quarterbacks who, if you give them time and they can step up, they're going to kill you. What the Falcons did, if you watch the game, is they got pressure up the middle against Drew Brees, and we know that's a quick that is his kryptonite. Pressure up the middle. Grady Jarrett, obviously, probably going to be up for player of the week. 2.5 sacks. He kept pressure up the middle. And you saw Drew Brees pump fake a lot in this game because he could not step up. This causes a disruption in how he gets his rhythm. And I think it was a perfect game plan. I think that defense and that game plan in itself kind of set the tone. The run game as well, Brian Hill, you know, look, they cut this dude 2 years ago. And, you know, and it also says if you can run the ball, hand and play defense, it's, you know, I said this Sunday, if you can run the ball, get off the field on third downs and stay on the field on third downs, your probability of winning goes up tremendously. And when I was looking at the game, you know, I'm like, okay, this looks like they finally getting off the milk carton. So that was my take. That's what I saw. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Han, and tell me what you saw.
Well, right now I'm trying not to bite my tongue too bad, boy, because it feels like I'm just chewing it because I still want to say other things. But I'm going to keep it professional. We're going to talk about the Falcons and how they look. Rival games, we see them happen constantly with teams that these teams came into the league together, what, 66, I believe, 67, something like that. And they've been rivals ever since. So a lot of times you can throw the records out. And I think there's a disrespect for a team when you go into a game and you're a double-digit underdog to your rival.
Yeah, for a rival, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that in itself should have been some kind of warning signs to say, hey, something's brewing here. And I didn't read it. Honestly, I went out of the way. The Falcons had looked so bad in these prior games with the New Orleans Saints coming off a bye, getting the running back back. What's the kid's name? 41?
Kamara
was coming back off of injury. Breeze had had a game, then had a bye week. I just thought everything was in line for New Orleans really to just take the Falcons apart because I had seen no life, no kind of resistance in the Falcons at all. But as you say, as we stated, rival games are different. And as you stated, the pressure up the middle was key, getting in Drew Brees' face. If you watch him play, every time he throws the ball down the middle of the field, his head is tilted back to try to see over the lineman. Mm-hmm. His face mask is pointed to the sky because he can't see downfield. And that's what he does. But he's able to get the ball off quick. And the Falcons, I don't know if they press receivers. I think you and I had a discussion when we talked, I think maybe a year ago, maybe about them, the Saints not having a true deep threat. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yes, the wide receiver,
Michael Thomas.
Thomas, gives you a catch radius and possession receiver, but he doesn't threaten you deep mm-hmm. over the top. He can beat you in the middle. He can beat you, you know, in that intermediate or whatever and go across and make the tough catches. But I think if you bracket him and there's really no balance to no opposites, no counterpart on the receiver side to allow, you know, to relieve some pressure off of him. So I think the Falcons kind of bracketed him, limited him to what he had been doing, and pressure up the middle on Breeze was the game plan. And they really, you know, they executed the game plan and Falcons came out on top.
It's a rivalry game. I was shocked that it wasn't closer because I said the Falcons were going to win. I thought it would be a closer game. But here it is. I have two observations, and I'm being serious. You look at the Georgia Bulldogs. They're going to the playoffs. They have a chance to go to the playoffs. You look at Atlanta United. They went to the playoffs. They were good this year. They turned it around.
Who's that?
Keep going.
You look at the Hawks. They're playing great. Hawks have an all-star now. The Braves got in the playoffs. They're looking like, man, they might do something in the future. Mm-hmm. They had a meeting, and I really believe that you had to talk to the – and the Falcons was the draw on the bucket. With Atlanta fans, you have to have a team that you have to complain about. And they're not, you know, they can't be good. I really believe that was the Falcons because what they did on Sunday, they played magnificent. The defense, how many turnovers did the Falcons have?
No.
So to see that and to see them play, I have a rivalry. I'm a Chicago Bears fan. But our rivalry is not like your rivalry. Your rivalry is the best rivalry of NFL. Our rivalry is because we played them since...
Green Bay?
Yeah, since slavery days. That was our rivalry. But when we lost, you know, we been having losing seasons. When we were having losing seasons and we played Green Bay, our Super Bowl was to beat Green Bay. We beat Green Bay.
That was good.
As fans, team, we're good. And I really believe after this win, sorry, Falcons fans, but they're about to check it up. You're about to see a whole bunch of losses. But to them, they came together and was like, we have to win this game. This is the only game that has salvaged the season. So that's what I thought it was. I just think they really was determined to win this game. We're not worried about Dan Quinn. Or nobody. This is for the players, for us to beat this team. And that's why I think you saw them play like they did. But after this, then they go back to the Falcons and lose. You know, they're in the runners to get somebody too, so.
All right, G, you have anything on the Falcons?
I did think it was interesting that, you know, Matt Ryan came out to play in this game. But I think because it was the Saints, I think there's still that, like you said, this is the best rivalry in the league. And a lot of people don't want to, if you don't live in this area, you don't want to say that.
Right.
But it doesn't matter what the team's records are or the injuries or anything like that. When it's Falcons Saints, you know, there are fans that are going to come to New Orleans and then they're going to be, you know, when Thanksgiving comes around. It's Thanksgiving this year that they play each other again.
Right.
So I think like the Falcons are just up for this game. You know, they lost six in a row. There's got to be something to play for. Okay, the Saints are on the schedule. They, you know, nothing more needs to be said. So I think they were up for the game, and they came out and just they played more aggressive than they had. They played better. This is the best defensive game they've had all season.
And two seasons.
Okay, I'll take your word for that. Two seasons, but. And also because it's the Saints, you know, so they had something to play for. I don't know if this saves Dan Quinn's job. It probably doesn't, but at least it's something for the team and the fans to feel good about for at least a few days.
Yeah, well, until Thanksgiving, we'll see how that works out. You play Carolina this week, going up against Mr. McCaffrey this weekend. We'll see how that turns out.
Has Cam played his last down for Carolina?
For this season? You talking about forever?
Forever.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't. It depends on if Allen shows up like he did Sunday and he wins. If Allen gets him to the playoffs, yeah. If they don't, and Allen is like, he did pretty good this game, but he didn't do well this game, the team they're supposed to beat, mm-hmm. Cam comes back.
What's Cap's cap hit? Cam's cap hit for next year, G?
19.
Is it 19?
No, two. Well, they owe him 21.
And if they cut him by a certain time, they get out of something.
Yeah, they get out of all of but $2 million.
I think we've seen that scar for the last time.
he's due 19.1 and to a cap it of 21.1.
I think that Allen has exceeded a lot of what we expected. I expected.
But is it good enough to I get that, but is it good enough to win? The only thing is with this young wide receiver core, I really believe that they've adapted to Allen. They're not used to playing with Cam because Cam was hurt last year. With this young receiver, you have to think that. But we all know the owner. Probably
new owner.
But still, the owner. Well,
new GM.
The owner.
Gettleman's not there.
But I'm saying, I think the owner, and the fact that you're gonna have to get rid of Ron Rivera, because Ron Rivera live or die Cam Newton. You know, and that's the only reason why I think he stays.
I had a couple shirts I was partial to. They got ready. They had to go. You know, I did. I mean, it's time. Cam has been great for the city. He did a lot, but sometimes it's time to move on, man. I mean, let's just be real. $19 million hit. This dude is great. He's 5-2 now. His record since he took over, 5-2, 6-2, something like that.
Yeah,
because I think he was only won by five in a row.
Yeah, six. I think it's 5-2, and the two losses were 49ers just got to him,
and that was
and then they
team.
Were
so
inches.
Two teams he's lost to.
They lost by inches to the Packers.
Right. I think that ship is sailed. You might get Cam next year.
We don't
I mean, he'd be an upgrade from what you get.
He gonna get hurt. We don't want him.
But you just told me
he's get okay. Another coach. I want another coach.
I think he's done in Carolina, and I just think they don't have anything tied with him. I think it's time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's,
they probably both need a change.
And there's no guarantee that even Kyle Allen is the future because of the new GM and the new ownership. Maybe they just want to build this whole thing around Christian McCaffrey. I think that's something that they will seriously consider.
But who does he play better under?
Who?
It's Cam. I mean, it
McCaffrey?
Works. It'll work out better with Cam because Cam is that threat. And then don't forget.
Well, then maybe a new offensive coordinator that can still utilize McCaffrey the way he's been this
McCaffrey
year.
McCaffrey can play better?
I think he plays better with Cam.
Wow.
Yeah.
But the thing is that Cam had not played that well under North Turner's offense.
Well, no. Cam hasn't played that well under North Turner's offense. Healthy.
Cam hasn't.
Because when he was healthy, what was they right? When he was healthy.
He ain't been number 2 years.
I agree with the first part. Cam hadn't played well.
This is only North Turner's second year there.
My point, but when he was healthy, they were considered probably maybe the best team in football.
But it's a new offense.
We don't even know if the shoulder is even ever going to be right.
That's the thing. So if he's not going to be right, that's why I say he goes.
But it's a foot thing now, though.
It's foot.
Hair. Scarf.
Wardrobe. Yeah.
All right, man. Let's shift this thing to a little basketball. Boston Celtics. They lose Al Horford. They lose Kyrie. What's the big Aaron Baines.
Baines are balling.
They lose a lot. And with that team, many thought that they could extend when LeBron left and went west. They say, well, Boston got all the makings. Kind of disappointed. Oh, Morris. They lost Morris. So they lose all these people, and many say, well, Jason and Jalen got stunted because of the return of Kyrie and Gordon. And then this year you come and you say, well, name the top three teams. Well, obviously Philly, Milwaukee, and they have I don't know if Boston can be up there, but many people will probably even take Toronto over them at this point before the season started. Then we get into 10 games in the season, 8 or 9 or 10 games into the season, and Boston has only lost one game. Best record in the East, and trying to figure out how are they doing this. And I would be the first to say, and I've said it last year, I said it 2 years ago, Brad Stevens is not a coach to coach superstars. Brad Stevens is the coach that coaches up. As long as you give him some decent players, he will coach you up because they can listen to what you're saying and things of that nature. They have three players right now averaging 25 or almost 20 points a game. And they're playing defense, and they're 8-1. Han, I think you had said to us before the season started, do not look past this Boston Celtics team. Matter of fact, I know you said it.
Yeah, thank you. I've been trying to break him on, pat myself on the back, but this is true.
So, please expound on how are they doing this?
You got guys on the team now that don't have a cloud over them. And that cloud being Kyrie. I'm just being real about it. And he's doing the same thing in Brooklyn. He's taking the air out of the building. These kids played so well without him. They got to the Eastern Conference, semis?
Two years ago.
Yeah. And then you come, we're looking at all these guys getting paid. And why are the guys getting paid? Because they're able to play. And then Kyrie and Gordon Hayward come back in. And we're going to be coming up on contracts in another couple years. And I don't get to show my talents. I don't get to play. Because you basically just put Gordon in the lineup when he wasn't even healthy. I'm not going to say that, okay, these guys were better than him, but they were better than him because of injury. Let's be real. They were better. Yeah. Yeah. But they had to take a back seat. Jaylen Brown should have been playing, you know? And now, not only is he sitting on the bench, when he's in the game, he has to watch Kyrie do his thing. And I think that stunned Tatum. I think it stunned Brown for sure. There's a lot of, they tried not to be angry about the situation. But I think they were. Underlying thing was, wait a minute, we did this as a team last year. Now this guy comes in, he's shooting anytime he wants, he takes over games, and the team, the chemistry was off. It just was. I didn't understand how Al left. I thought Al would flourish now as a lead, you know, in this system. But even without him, you can see the continuity. You can see the togetherness of this team. And to your point on saying that Stevens is better without superstars, maybe that's the key, but maybe if the superstars bought into the system more and played within the system, but what makes a superstar.
Good point.
That he can break the huddle and say, yeah, we can get it done with this team concept, but there's nobody in an opposite color that can stop me from getting mine because I'm just better.
I think that's the kind of roster they have now. I mean, you replace Kyrie with Kemba. Kemba's averaging 25 a game. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what Kyrie was averaging last year. But I think also, I'm not sure how good of a defender Kemba actually is, but he might be a little better than Kyrie. And I think that also the getting along with your teammates matters.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And there was some video where you'd see how Kyrie would react to a teammate missing a shot or taking perhaps a bad shot.
How about when he didn't get the ball that time?
Or when a play was run for him, he didn't get the ball because he wasn't open. That's why he didn't get it. But they lost the game, but he's talking to, I think it was Gordon Hayward, like, hey, why didn't you pass it to me? Or that wasn't the play or something like that. But with Kemba, it's not that, to where it's not like public or anything.
And I know it sounds like me piling on Kyrie. Look, Kyrie's a superstar. But my point on it is that they're 8-1 for a reason. Now, maybe they won't be 8-1 in the next six, you know, eight games or nine games.
Right.
But right now, coming out, you can see a difference in how they play. And it looks like they like playing with each other.
Before I move to Mr. Controversy, don't forget, rumor has it, Jason Tatum recruited Kemba Walker.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so
I don't know who it might have been the whole team at the pitch for Kemba Walker.
But then all of them, didn't they play together
four of them played. It was Walker, Brown, Tatum, and Marcus Smart.
That's part of the reason why they're winning. I think it's overblown with the Kyrie situation as far as when he's asking for the ball, because we've seen Jordan ask for the ball, we've seen Kobe ask for the ball. I mean, that's what superstars and leaders do.
With other players who are there, that can wear it can, depending on the players, that can wear down on people over the course of a season.
You're right. But again, we've seen Kobe do it many times. We've seen Jordan do it many times. Ewing do it. That part was overblown.
Had those players that you're saying that they did it, the players that they're playing with, had they been out of the mix and that team gone to the Eastern Conference Finals without him? You see what I'm saying? Now I come back in. Wait a minute, I've been driving and I can't even get the wheel anytime. See, it's different. Maybe if Kyrie would have been there first before they had the success. Mm-hmm. That's my biggest point, but is that they tasted success, and then you tell me I can't play anymore like I played.
No, that's true. And they got to the Eastern Conference Finals in the playoffs without Kyrie, but they did have one of the best records in the league with Kyrie. I mean, so, but Kyrie, I'm just saying that particular play is overblown. I'm not saying Kyrie wasn't cancer. I'm not saying that. Just that play. But it's not even just because they got the cancer. It's not just that. They're condensed. You said it. You were talking about how, because they had superstars. I don't even think it was the superstars.
Kind of superstar.
You had like everybody Kyrie wanting to show what they had. Again, I said it before. Rozier told me personally, we all just trying to get our shine on. That's what it is. But if we learn how to play together, that's what it is. So think about it. You said it. They added Gordon Hayward. You have Jaylen Brown, who just had a good year the year before. You bring in Tatum now. Then you got Rozier, who was playing point guard. Kyrie's there. Horford. Coach Stevens doesn't coach, not just with superstar. He had too much talent.
Right. That's a whole lot of.
That's a lot of talent.
And the thing is, like, it was one player that kind of changed. Like, okay, he doesn't have Kyrie, doesn't have Hey. All right, I got to play these other guys. So he has a certain strategy. Right. But now when you bring in Kyrie and what he can do, and then you're trying to get Hayward out there with what he can do, the strategy changes. But see, you got to change it like quickly.
The genie was out the bottle, guys.
Yeah.
The genie was out. Those guys tasted success. Like I said, it wouldn't have been a problem with numbers if they had never been the guys. But when Kyrie and Gordon were out, they were the guys.
And that's what I think who messed. I think when they brought Gordon in, now we got too many players. But let's focus on this year. Y'all forgetting one person who's really... It's Gordon. We saw it last year. You could see in the playoffs, okay, that shot looked good. He might have missed it, but he looked good on that drive. Or he looked good on that shot. Now, it seems like he was back. And how much he's averaging, G? Like 25?
19.
I know the last, few games, he was 25, 37, 30, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. So he's been that piece. What they needed, because now you got, and what I love about Kemba quietly scores his 30 points, but mm-hmm. You don't say anything. So I think that's the reason why they've been good. Now with Hayward out, I think it's going to be a challenge now.
But he earned their respect before he moved on.
He did.
You see what I'm saying? When they won and got to the Eastern Conference Finals, they did without him. Mm-hmm. But then you came in and made him
right.
The guy. You put him and Kyrie above these guys
right.
Without earning respect. Or earning, you part of it. Now, yeah, he did play well down the stretch or whatever last year. So now they respect him as a teammate. You play better. You just like if you're talking sports with someone, if they say something that you say, okay, that's a sports, that's a point I didn't see or whatever, you start to respect that. But when somebody just come in hollering, you put them at the head of class and they just, wait a minute, where you coming from?
Here. Who are you?
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Hey, where are you?
No, I agree.
So it's like it's a respect factor that you see now. It's like I say, you have to like, well, you don't have to like, but you have to respect the game. And I think those pieces fit better now than they did when, I know it sounds like I don't like Kyrie. And I do like, I think Kyrie is a superstar. But he can take the oxygen out of a team.
It's just, listen, and I don't take offense to it because on this show, obviously we got to say what's real. And it's obvious, I even going back to the Duke days when he came back and played. So it's not so far-fetched. It's like trying to have LeBron play in San Antonio. It's not his game. He mm-hmm. has to isolate, and that's what Kyrie does, mm-hmm. and that's just a part of his game. It's an observation, not a knockdown. We get it, and I get it, and I hope everybody who's listening to it understands that what we're trying to say or what Hancock is saying that I agree with wholeheartedly, but there are some other things that could have contributed to a lot of this, and I'm gonna keep saying, it's hard to coach Brad Stevens is a team shared kind of coach. Everybody gets involved. And to have someone like Kyrie, who is the head of that, supposedly the head of that class, when he doesn't buy into the team sharing and the way he plays his game, either two things are going to happen. The team is going to suffer, or Kyrie is not going to give his best. So obviously they moved on from that. Kemba came from a situation where, you know, he can play a little more team and gets involved with all the other players. And Brad Stevens can coach like he needs to coach and not say, okay, well, I'm going to let Kyrie just go off for the next 5 minutes and do what he needs to do. Next week, we'll have to get to this Phoenix Sun, but because I want to get to this load management situation. I think this subject has been going around for like the last couple of years, and it's been eating fans apart, because if you get tickets and buy jerseys and things of that nature, and you go to see one of your favorite players and find out the day of the game that they're not playing, that affects the fan base. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Controversy, I'm going to start with you on this. What are your thoughts about load management, and if we can do anything about it, or we can't do anything about it, or what is it that we need to understand about it, in your opinion?
First, they need a definition of it, because I thought it was something I had to load on my laptop. So I was looking for I was about to call G for the app.
Right.
No, but seriously, I've been speaking about this for years. I mean, people who have watched me come up in years or listen to me or whatever, I've always spoke against this, because I've always thought, I understand you want to get this guy ready for the playoffs or what have you. Now, first of all, I don't agree with how they find Doc Rivers, because you made a statement, oh, he's doing better. That don't mean he's not healthy. I didn't like that. But as far as, I call it the San Antonio rule, where Pop used to do it purposely, not just the rest of his players, but you're not about to see what we have. Because he did it when they played the best player, the best teams. And everybody sitting. I mean, he, all four.
There's a game they played the Heat. He sat Duncan and Ginobili and Parker.
Yeah.
So I think Kawhi was a rookie on that team.
Yeah.
But he'll, yeah. And it won't matter who
but
they're playing.
I think that I don't like the fact that you rest them. I mean, when I think about, and yes, I know I'm the get off my line type dude, but the year when Jordan came back in 95, and he didn't miss a game after that, and this man played till he was 36, didn't miss a game, and went to the finals 3 straight years, didn't miss a game. Players didn't miss game. Players were mad if you sat them because they had a sprained ankle or they twisted an ankle. They were mad if you told them you can't play the next game, especially against a good team.
Right.
And that's what it was. And I think, of course, you think about the kids, because I would be mad if, shoot, I'm media. I'm mad when the best player not playing that game. Well, dog, why ain't you playing? I'm mad, but you taking people paying money. The NBA, I mean, that's what we want to see, superstars play. And I think if you're not injured, hey, but now if you're nursing something, it's okay to take a game up, I guess. But I think that players and coaches, they take it too far.
Before I get to you, Han, did you got something to say?
Yeah, I think that the part of the issue is how the scheduling is for players, for the teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's 82 games, and people say, well, the season's too long. But at the same time, the schedule is, it's a breakneck pace kind of schedule. There are a lot of 4 games and 5 nights, which players complained about. A lot of back-to-backs to where, you know, I think that's part of it. Like, if it's off of a back-to-back, you know, you just played in Denver last night. Now you're going to Utah.
Man,
come on. I'm just saying that's what right, their that's logic what like. Is.
Right,
that's
right,
what
right.
the logic is.
Right.
But there were the schedule was like this, you know, 10 years ago, yeah. right. 20 years ago. So
making less money.
Yeah, I think that the I think that the issue is that the teams want to protect the players as far as what their what they do, as far as like how many games they play, how many minutes they play, and trying to maximize that using science and technology. But I think also part of it, and LeBron said this earlier this week, it goes back to the AAU circuit, to where players are coming to the league already with injuries. But he said his son's team played 5 games in one day. And he's like, that's too much. They're playing 100 games in the span of 90 days or less.
So that's why Steph Curry is so fresh, because he didn't play AAU.
Well, no one wanted him to play. Or he had a team, but they didn't win any games. They didn't go to these national tournaments playing 5 games a day.
Exactly.
And I'm passing on to you, but I just say they need to drink. If they drink whole milk, they need to stop drinking this 2% milk. Back in the day, we drank whole milk. It was straight.
Yeah. No, see, they don't. It's not. They don't drink cow's milk. They drink
2%.
No,
almond
it's,
milk.
It's cashew milk.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Coconut milk, all that.
Oh my God. All right, Harry, what you got on this? We'll go in it on this one, baby.
It's social media. It's social media because it reaches everybody. You put a name on it, now everybody, low match, what's that? Oh, that ain't good. That's crap. And right. And to an extent it is crap. But it's been going on with the San Antonio Spurs for a while.
That was part of the you probably were gonna end up making this point anyway. But how people seem to look at only how many rings a player has, that's what matters to the point where, you know, a Clippers Jazz game on a Tuesday, oh, we don't need to play Kawhi in that game because who cares? And that if teams are looking at it that way, then
yeah,
because that's how social media looks
that's
at it.
That's it. Yeah. And it's just that, you know, like I said, now that everybody is a neighbor now. You know, we know what's going on all over the world now in a drop of a dime, you know, whatever. And before, it took a while for anything to catch fire and really become a phenomenon. People get to be billionaires overnight now. You know, you become a media superstar overnight. And this is just that term now that once it's, I can't say that B word, but once it's made a bad term.
Right.
Then, okay, now it's blown way out of proportion. And we're talking about now, instead of talking about the good things that are going on in the NBA, we're talking about load management.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's just another shiny object out here. But, yeah, I do agree. When a kid is look forward to seeing seeing his favorite player play and they come to that town and he doesn't suit up and he's not injured, it's a bad situation.
Yeah, there it is. By the way, Anthony Davis is out tonight.
Low man.
He got hurt though. I saw it again. He got hurt.
Always hurt.
Yeah. Whole milk. What I tell you.
That's what I've been waiting on him. Him and Derrick Rose time coming too.
Whole milk.
Oh my God.
They gonna get hurt.
All right, man. When you hear that music, you already know what time it is. It's time to get up out of here, man. First and foremost, big man above. Appreciate you allowing us to keep doing our thing each and every Wednesday. We appreciate everybody on Facebook Live. And of course, the intern is in the building. Jackson, we appreciate it doing his thing. Way to get your credits up. Raphael, thanks for coming through, man. Jay Smooth, really appreciate it. Ashley told me to send you a thank you for filling in and doing what you do. Also appreciate Slick Money for calling in, giving his picks. We definitely like 2 of those picks for sure. And thanks to the crew, man. Y'all, we do this each and every week. Han, I know you battling through the traffic.
Boy.
It's cold outside. I got my hoodie on and all this other kind of stuff. You know, my stogie almost froze out there today when I was trying to get it in.
I believe it.
You know what I'm saying? But we made it through, man, and we really appreciate it. Thanks for everybody tuning in each and every week.
Yeah, shout out to everybody on Facebook that listened in to the SRT. Shout out to Mr. Controversy coming in, holding it down. I always enjoy the banter back and forth with you. Shout out to my wife. Appreciate you allowing me to do what I do each and every week. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be able to be here. Appreciate you. Love you. And shout out, crew.
There it is.
Again, one of my favorite times of the week, Wednesday nights.
Absolutely.
I just wish I could borrow Kobe's helicopter to get here.
Absolutely. All right, bro. It's on you.
Hey, man. Hopefully, I don't know what hand. I'm going to make a deal. I don't know. We got to pay him, G. But this Saturday, we might have the whole SRT crew. Or this part of SRT. I got to talk to them.
Right.
But they're going to be on the show, the 3-Point Conversion Sports Lounge, every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. But this Saturday, I want to see if both of them come in.
Oh, I'm already committed.
Yeah, he's committed. But we're going to see what Hank talking about. But, hey, I appreciate it, man. You know, we always talk sports. This is...
It's heaven.
If I could just do this all the time, this is it.
This be it.
This would be life. Doubt. That's all I
got to
say.
All right, dude, what you got?
Shout out to SRT crew, Mr. Controversy. Thank you for coming in. Stay safe out there, Jay, wherever you are. Shout out to everyone who watched on Facebook Live. Shout out to my mom and dad. Shout out to my niece, Tatiana. She just turned 21. Don't party too hard.
There you go.
At least wait a few days before, you know, between parties, at least. let yourself recover. And if y'all are watching on Facebook Live, if you have not, go ahead and click the bell so that you know when we go live each every Wednesday.
There it is, man. And you already know we'll be back next week. Make sure you check us out Saturday at the Big Easy Grill. We're going to be on a 3-Point Conversion from 10 to 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. So make sure you check us out on 1100. And you already know how we do it. If you don't like it, you better learn to love it because it's the hottest show going today. Hand, let's go.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
This is your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Moms, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
try load management.
And we out. Peace.
There's a lot going on in the world,
and your world is always changing. That's why it's